Merry Christmas. It's so good to be with you here together in this room. And I love this night. This is my favorite night of the whole year. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. I love everything about this night. And from the superficial things that are more superficial, we have foods that we like to eat, and I have family traditions that I enjoy. I love this tradition. Gathering with the church family in this room to worship the Lord. And it's such a blessing to be here. I even like the candlelight. I love the lights. I love the glow of the Christmas lights. I love all of these things. But the two most meaningful things to me on this night are the hymns, which I love. Sorry, I'm on an emotional wreck. But I love those old songs, those ancient songs. They help us, don't they, to focus, to cause us to wonder again about what the Lord has done for us and to worship Him in response. Love those. And above all, I love the Word. The Word of God. We have the Christmas account. We have the Christmas story right from the Scriptures. And that's how we know that it's not made up. This isn't a fairy tale that we're coming to remember and to celebrate this evening. This is what has happened. And God has spoken to us through His Word about these things. We know the miracle of Christmas because God published it in the Bible. And as I was preparing for this, I was reminded of words that I heard from Richard Dawkins, famous atheist. Some of you may know who he is, but he's reported to have said, and I think he was quoting somebody else, but he said, if he has to stand before God at the end of his life, if he gets to the end of his life and he needs to stand before God, which, by the way, he will need to stand before the Lord, he's going to ask God why he went to such great lengths to hide himself. And it's a little bit laughable, but that's terrifying. And it's pitiful because God has gone to great lengths to reveal Himself to us. He has revealed Himself over and over, and from the very beginning of speaking into history, He has revealed the truths about Jesus Christ and His Son that was going to come. And so we have this truth. And He went out of His way to provide it to us. And people through the millennia have taken God at His word. Have said, God, You said this. I'm looking for this. I'm waiting for this. I'm trusting You. I'm believing in You. And as we come to His word this evening, may our hearts have that mentality. Where we will come to His word and these familiar words yet again in faith, believing that He will do and He has done what He has said. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, we're so grateful. Our hearts overflow with joy, with peace, because of what You've done. And Lord, as we look at these words again, thank You for them. Thank You that You're a God who speaks. Thank You that You're a God who has taken great pains to reveal Yourself in all of Your truth to us. And Lord, as we approach these words, Lord, open our hearts. Help us, Lord, to respond in faith and in obedience and with joy and with worship this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 2 is probably the most famous of the Christmas accounts. And if you have your Bible, you can turn there. It's pretty dark. And we're just going to go into kind of story mode. We're just going to go through this story and walk through it together. And it comes basically, the first verses of Luke 2 come in three scenes. And so we'll just prepare for that. But the three scenes are Mary and Joseph are the first scene in their journey to Bethlehem, and then the birth of Christ. In the second scene, we see shepherds who receive the announcement of this birth. And in the third scene, we see all of those people joined together. Mary and Joseph and Jesus and the shepherds are all together in the final scene. And so let's begin by looking at Luke 2. He begins this way. He says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And we see in this first scene, there are a bunch of people. There's this kind of sea of humanity that is moving around the Roman Empire, moving around together. And in the midst of all of these people is a young couple, Mary and Joseph. And they're betrothed. We would say they're engaged. They're legally obligated to be married. And she is in the last moments of her pregnancy, the very last moments. How had those previous 9 months gone, do we think? We don't know for sure, but an engaged couple that is found to be pregnant is bound to cause some people to wonder and some people to question. And they may have kind of looked like fools. They may have felt like fools at times. And it was probably a difficult row. We know at least some of their relatives, like Elizabeth, believed. They believed that Mary was carrying the very Son of God. But what others thought, we don't know. We can only imagine. But for all the whispers that they endured, Mary and Joseph knew, listen, they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that their child was from God. They knew that beyond a shadow of a doubt because they had God's word. They had God's word. And the title of the message tonight is Just As They Were Told. Mary and Joseph had been told. They had the word from angels. Joseph, and he as he walked to Bethlehem that night, as he was trudging on, and by the way, this was a 70-mile journey through mountainous country. It would take 2 hours if we were to drive it in a car. I don't know how many days it took them to get there. We can't know that, but it took them some days. And we don't know that she was riding on a donkey. We get that image from all of our little Christmas cards, but there's no message, there's no mention of a donkey. I hope that she was riding on something. But here they trudge on, and I'm sure as he was walking, I'm sure he was thinking about what the angel had said to him. He said, "Do not be afraid, Joseph. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And he had probably repeated that to himself through those months and through that whole journey. "God, I know this is what you wanted me to do. I know that you told me to take her and care for her. I know because you said so." And God had also spoken to Mary, hadn't he? He had sent the angel Gabriel to her. And we read it in Luke chapter 1. He said to Mary, the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid. For you have found favor with God, and behold, you'll conceive in your womb, and you'll bear a son, and call his name Jesus. And he'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. His kingdom there will be no end." Some of us love the song, "Mary, Did You Know?" And the answer to that question is, yeah, kind of. She did know, actually. She might not have known that he was going to walk on water and maybe some of all the details, and surely she couldn't possibly have totally grasped the fact that it was deity in her womb. But she knew because the Lord had told her. Just as the Lord had said it to her through the angel, it was happening to her. And so even though Mary and Joseph weren't perfect, even though they were sinners, and they were sinners just like us, they were common folk. They had the word, and they believed, and they were being obedient, and they were walking toward Bethlehem. And I wonder if they also knew Isaiah's words. I'm sure that they probably did. "The virgin will conceive and shall bear a son and call his name Emmanuel." And I wonder if they knew Micah's words, Micah 5:2, that "You, O Bethlehem, are too small to be part of the clans of Judah, but out of you will come for me a ruler who will be the ruler of my people, Israel." Those prophecies were written 700 years before this ever even took place. And I'm sure that those things and those thoughts were giving them strength to take the next steps to Bethlehem. And so they got there. They got there just in time for the child to be born. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord works? He used a Roman emperor who wanted to count people for money, and he created a census, and all of these things took place, and it got them to the very spot where he said his son was going to be born on earth. And just as they got there, it says, well, not just as they got there, but when they got there, it says, it goes on to say, while they were there at that time, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. No room for them. I love that she had, by the way, the swaddling cloths with her. You know, she was prepared. She thought, okay, and maybe they borrowed them or something, but I think she was ready for this. She knew that this was going to happen. She knew that she was great with child, and this was probably going to happen, and she was prepared. And those things were traditional, but that's about the last thing that's traditional about this birth, isn't it? The birth of the Son of God on earth, the second person of the Trinity. This Jesus was laid in a feeding trough. For animals is where he was laid down. The one through whom God had made the universe and spoke it all into existence was laying there on a bed of straw, of hay, in a manger in Bethlehem. Not what we would expect. Not how we would have written that. He was born to humble people, and he was born in a humble, very humble place. And as we get ready to move on from this scene, that's the first scene. And as we get ready to move on from there, let me just make a few comments. And I think that these are helpful to us. I love the Christmas hymns, and I said that, and I do. I love them. But from some of them, we get some lyrics that paint an incredibly idyllic picture of what was going on. We hear all is calm and all is bright. A little town, and it was a sleeping little town, and it was sleeping dreamlessly. How silently the wondrous gift was given. And little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. We got to know. That's not how it was. That's not how exactly it was. And the reason that I want us to think about that is I want to encourage some of you especially. I want to encourage all of us. But I want to encourage some of you especially who may come to nights like tonight, and they may look at the Christmas cards, and they may look at even at that picture on the screen and think, you know, my life doesn't look anything like this perfect little idyllic scene. Don't be discouraged by that. Jesus, the Son of God, came to live and to dwell right in the midst of people who were stressed, people who were tired, people who were common. That's where the Son of God came to dwell. That's where he made his first appearance, right in the middle of all that. Not only were they stressed and tired and common, but hear this, they were faithful, they were obedient, they were trusting in the Lord and following his word. And so you might be some of those things, but let us be all of those things. People who are faith. People who are trusting in the Lord and trusting in his word and following him in obedience. That's where Jesus came. That's where God sent his son to be born. And that's scene one. Scene one. Scene two. Luke says, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, laying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And if we were surprised at the circumstances of the birth of Christ, the birth of the Son of God, our surprise is not taken away, right, as Luke describes where the announcement of the birth of the King of the universe took place. It didn't take place in some hall of government. It didn't take place in a palace. It didn't take place with the religious elites of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It didn't take place in the temple with throngs of worshipers. None of those places. Luke takes us out to a field the very same night in the dark to a handful of shepherds. These are not the elites and the powerful who received this news first. Common folk. Common folk receive this news, this word from God about what he had done. Now, if you're a shepherd, by the way, disturbances are not your friend. Especially disturbances at night. Right? Thieves steal at night, wolves hunt at night. And so you can imagine, of course, it says they were filled with great fear. Yeah, filled with fear. But God lit up their night. And the first words are, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. I'm coming to bring you good news. I have good news for you. I have good news." And what was the news? "Unto you is born this day. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Do you remember Isaiah's words that I opened with? The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who were dwelling in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. These shepherds were living that out. Those very words. The light shone around them. And they were told, a child is born to you. And the angel gives three descriptions of this baby in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Three descriptions. He said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." You see those three things? A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Three things. First, he is a Savior. He's a Savior. We sang about that. He's a Savior. It wasn't uncommon for people to use that term for fake gods back in the day. Little bits of junk and stuff that they would worship, these little stones and things. They might call those things Savior. They might even call people, ruling people who had done great things for the country, they may have even called them Savior. We might even say that Abraham Lincoln was the Savior of the Union. But this wasn't that kind of Savior. It wasn't a Savior that was born. It was the Savior. The Savior. The angel goes on to give him another description. It's the Christ. It's the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of God, who is a Savior. The Savior, the Christ. The one of whom God said, "Your throne is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom, and you've loved righteousness and you've hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with oil of gladness beyond your companions." Beyond your companions. This Savior was no ordinary Savior. It was the Savior and the Messiah. The angel adds one more adjective, the Lord. The Lord. And there were lords back then. A lord was somebody who owned things, somebody who was a master of things. But this wasn't a lord. This was the Lord. And they used that phrase the same way you and I would use that phrase. We say, "Praise the Lord." We use that phrase of God. "Unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ, the Lord, the Master, the Owner, the God, the only God." And they said, that's the news. That's the good news. And so if you've got to be startled by something in the middle of the night, that's the kind of news you want to be startled by. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And we know what he was a Savior from, and this is extremely important. Please hear me. When the angel visited Joseph, he said, "Joseph, you're going to call this baby's name Jesus." Why? Because he's going to save his people from their sins. He's a Savior from sins. The baby in the manger, by the way, isn't the point of the Christmas story. It's not even the beginning of the story. If we want to see the beginning of the story in Scripture, we have to go back way before the angelic visions and way before Isaiah's words and Micah's words. We have to go all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 3, in order to see the beginning of this story. But Adam and Eve sinned there. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they were given and they earned a death sentence. God had told them, don't eat of this fruit, for the day of you eat of it, you will surely die. And when they ate of it, they died. They died spiritually. And sin entered the world. And right there in the same chapter. And by the way, I got to talk about that for a little bit longer. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And so the death that Adam and Eve received was the death that they earned. It also says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so guess what? The sin, our sin, is the death that we earn by our sin. If the Lord were to send us to hell, if the Lord were to separate us from him forever, it's because we've earned it. It's because we deserve it. That's the payment. Wages are our payment. They are not gifts. They are earned. But all the way back, right at the very beginning, and hear this, right at the very beginning of this story, God put forward a prophecy. And he said to Satan, he said, you're going to come against the seed of the woman. And you're going to strike his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. The seed of the woman is going to bruise your head. And if you want a great explanation of why Jesus was born of a woman, why Jesus, God came to be born of a woman, listen to Pastor Les's sermon from last Sunday. It was a fantastic, but about the virgin birth, if you have questions, go look at that sermon. But this is why Jesus had to be a man. This is why Jesus had to be born in this way, because the seed of the woman was going to come and to crush the head of the serpent. And so the Christmas isn't the beginning of the story. The story begins in Genesis. And from that time on, humanity was looking forward to a day when that seed was going to come. When's the seed going to come? When is this Savior going to come? And on this night, the Savior came. The Savior came. But Christmas isn't the end of the story either. Because a baby, by the way, born in a manger, and as miraculous and as wonderful and as lovely as all the pictures and all the warm light is and all of those things, that doesn't save anybody, does it? The story doesn't end there, because that baby was born in order to die on the cross for sins. The way that he could be the Savior, the way that the angel could come to Joseph and say that the one who is going to be born is going to be the Savior, is because Jesus was going to grow up, and as a man, he was going to die on that cross for our sins, for my sins, for your sins, for the shepherd's sins, for Mary and Joseph's sins. We need a Savior, and the Lord provided a Savior. And so, Jesus came as our Savior, as our Savior. But that's not the end of the story either, because he rose from the dead. He didn't just die, he rose again, and he's coming again. Is he not? The thing is, do you know how many thousands of years, we can't imagine how many thousands of years they were looking for his coming the first time. And we are looking for his coming again. Jesus said, I'm going to return. I'm going to come again. And when he comes again, it is not going to happen in a sleepy little town somewhere in the Middle East. It is not going to happen in some obscure place or in some obscure way. When Jesus Christ returns, it says, as the lightning flashes in the east and is seen in the west, the coming of the Son of Man is going to look like that. Isaiah prophesied again I have it written here. Let me read that. Well, he says, the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. Jesus is coming back. We can count on that. And it may be this very evening. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If he came back right now, he will. One day he will. And all of us together are going to see him. The Christmas carols, they may fudge some of the circumstantial details, but they nail it when it comes to the glorious truth of what God did for us. See, the thing is, our sin makes this barrier between us and God, and we can't work, by the way, hard enough to overcome that barrier. We can't give enough. We can't be good enough. We can't be kind enough. We can't go to church enough. We can't be baptized enough or take communion enough. We can't do anything, and God knew that, and so he sent his son to overcome that barrier, that separation between us and him. And listen, I love the words. He really does know your needs, by the way. He knows our needs. To our weakness, he is no stranger. Behold, behold our King. Before him lowly bend, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. I want to encourage you tonight. I don't know where you stand with the Lord. I don't know if you've received this gift that he gave. This gift, it was great news, which shall be for all the people. Good tidings of great joy. If you've not received him, I pray that you will receive him. This Christmas, right now, if God is speaking that to your heart, if he is speaking that into your life, I would urge you to call upon his name. Confess your sins. Turn to him and put your life in his hands. Be saved. He came to be the Savior. Amen? He came to be the Savior. Now, quickly, scene 3. And the angels went away from them into heaven. And the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary, she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. Just as God's word had said to them. But they weren't just hearers of God's word, were they? I love that. They weren't just hearing God's word. They didn't just, man, that was awesome. Praise the Lord, a Savior has been born. That makes me feel so good. Now, let's try to get some sleep and let's get the sheep together and just kind of try to protect them. And no. It says they made haste. The Lord has spoken these truths to us. Let us go and see what the Lord has said. Let's go see this thing that the Lord has proclaimed to us. We need to be that way. We need to take God at his word, and then we need to go and act accordingly, to move in obedience. That's what Mary and Joseph were doing. That's what the shepherds did. They went and saw, they joined Mary and Joseph, and they told them the wonderful things that the angel had said to them, and they returned, and they were glorifying and praising and worshiping God for the things that they had seen, just as they were told. Just as they were told. This word is true. God has published it for us. If we will seek him in his word and follow in faith what he says in his word, we will find him. The scriptures say, "You will seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." We need to go and act upon the things that God has told us. He has told us the glorious news of the gospel. He has told us the wonderful things that he has done by sending his son to be the Savior, saving us from our sins. Let us worship and praise and glorify him because of these things, because of these truths. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelled in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, This is the best news there is. This is the most important message that there is. Lord, I've been blessed to come to the truth of your word again and to see that you came right into the middle of common, sinful people. Lord, that gives me hope. You didn't come to the elites and all of the unattainables and all of those people. Lord, you came to common folk. You spoke the glorious truth of the gospel to shepherds. Praise you. Thank you. Lord, I pray for us this Christmas. It's a struggle for many. There's a lot of people sick. There's some people that are very, very sick. Looking to the end of maybe even their lives, Lord. And I pray that you would fill them with your hope. I pray that you would fill them with your truth and with the joy of the gospel. The joy that you're the Savior and that you came to bring peace. Lord, I pray for those who are in turmoil, who are anxious, who are worried, who are groaning for whatever reason. Lord, I pray that you would speak to their hearts. Your peace, because you've done it. You've done everything that needs to be done for salvation. I pray, Lord, for those who don't know you. Lord, who come into these rooms a few times a year maybe, or maybe even every single week. But Lord, they don't know you. Lord, I pray that you would find them this evening. Help them, Lord, to confess their sins, to turn from their own ways, and to confess you as Lord and Savior, to place their trust in your death and your resurrection for them. And Lord, then to be at peace, to go forward in joy, just like these shepherds. And Lord, help us all, not to just be hearers of your word, but Lord, to be filled with the joy, to be filled with the peace, and to go forward and to tell others, to proclaim the good things that you've done, things which we have heard and seen, and things that were told to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.